Beloved in Christ, be it this Christmas Eve our care and delight to prepare ourselves to hear again the message of the angels, in heart and mind to go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, and the babe lying in a manger. Let us read and mark in Holy Scripture the tale of the loving purposes of God from the first days of our disobedience unto the glorious redemption brought us by this holy child. And remembering that, may we gladly sing our carols of praise. But first let us pray for the needs of his whole world, for peace and goodwill over all the earth, for unity and brotherhood within the church he came to build, and especially in the dominions of our sovereign Queen Elizabeth. And because this of all things would rejoice his heart, let us at this time remember in his name the poor and the helpless, the cold, the hungry and the oppressed, the sick in body and in mind, and them that mourn, the lonely and the unloved, the aged and the little children, and all who know not the Lord Jesus. Lastly, let us remember before God all those who rejoice with us, but upon another shore and in a greater light, that multitude which no man can number, whose hope was in the Word made flesh, and with whom in this Lord Jesus we forevermore are one. These prayers and praises let us humbly offer up to the throne of heaven in the words which Christ himself hath taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life.
The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there.
"The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this."
"But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she is in labour gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth."
"And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people on whom his favour rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger."
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." When Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for that one, and we ask that now, as we just spend a moment thinking on him, that you would encourage our hearts and minds this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please be seated? And I want to speak especially to some of the youngsters this morning. And youngsters, I'm talking probably 16 and under, no parents, no people that are slightly older than that but still like to think of themselves as young. Can any of the youngsters tell me who are on the advertising we've done this year for the St. Stephen's Christmas services? Who's on the advertising? Anyone know? It's been on the PowerPoints all morning. It's here. It's behind me on the screen. Yes, right at the back, is it, Reuben? The wise men. Exactly right, the wise men. We've got the silhouette of the wise men travelling to see Mary, Joseph and baby Jesus. We heard about them in the reading that Jesse gave us from Matthew chapter 2. And I've been thinking all week about what it means to be wise. What does it mean to be wise? Put up your hand if you've got some definition of what wise means. Joel. Clever? Yes, that would be part of the definition. Any others? I put together, to have wisdom is to be knowledgeable, to have good judgment, to know how to act. It's really important in life to have wisdom. The opposite of wisdom, of course, is foolishness, and no one wants to be a fool. We want to be wise. Therefore, if you find a wise person, listen to them and learn from them. But as I was thinking about it this week, it occurred to me that I don't think we do a very good job at picking who wise people are and then listening to them and learning from them. I think we pick out other people instead of wise people. I think today we're much more likely to listen and learn from rich people instead of wise people, famous people instead of wise people, successful people instead of wise people, powerful people instead of wise people, brainy and educated people instead of wise people, because there can be a difference, can't there, between that. So today we listen to actors, people that are good at pretending and they tell us about life, or sports stars, people who are good at throwing a ball around and they tell us about life, or politicians who are good at telling us what we want to hear and they tell us about life, instead of seeking out the truly wise. So I thought I'd put up some pictures behind me on the slides of some people that I think the world listens to nowadays. You can choose whether you think the world listens to them or not, and whether they're wise or not. I won't take a vote. But I found out a very good thing during the week. I can put pictures on my computer and I can rub out certain parts. I can change faces. I can change appearances. That's what I can do. So I've put the faces up, but I've only left a little bit of the face there. And I want the youngsters to try and guess who it is. You get one guess, then if you can't get it, I'll give you a little bit more. If you still can't get it, I'll show you the whole thing. And, because it's Christmas, and I like competition, there's prizes. Therefore, if you get the face first time without any others, you can come up and have three of my Freddo frogs. If you get it with the next clue, you can come up and get two. If you get it when the full face is up there, you can come up and get one, but everyone knows that you just basically cheated. If you don't, People are guessing already. Is there something up? Whoa, put it. Oh, that wasn't supposed to be up. This gives you too much time. They get harder as they go through. If you don't get it, I keep the Freddo frogs and I am the Christmas champion. I fully expect, I've opened it because it's Christmas and it's a time for giving, but I fully expect to take this pack home untouched today. And I will be eating all 20 of the Freddos that are there. Okay, here are some people that I think the world listens to because it's wise. Who can guess it just from the first one behind me, Grace? President Obama. Is that right? Do the next one. Alex? Next one. Yes, it's three frogs. You can share those, of course. I'll get 17. Next one. Who can tell from that? First hand I see, I will ask. Oh, not so good anymore. Oh, well. Anyone? Yeah, Joel? Is it a person? Yes. That's your guess. Right, next one. Oh, and suddenly, Sophie. Dan Carter, apparently he can play rugby. Let's see. Yes, two. They're going to get harder. Next one. Oh, just one eye. First hand I see. And that's an extra frog. I love it when the parents look confused, because then there's no cheating that goes on. So no one knows. Next one, Alex. Oh, Emma. Is it who? Taylor Swift is. Right. Come up and grab two, quickly. Well done, Emma. You can clap, Emma. She got two. Next one. Oh, just a nose. Oh, unlucky. No hands? Milton's got his hand up, but there's been a challenge mounted that you're over the age limit, Milton. Yes, right at the back. John Key. Let's see if we still think it's John Key. No. Good guess, though. Unless he desperately needs more of a haircut. Dylan. Is it who? Albert Einstein. Correct. Well done. Well done, Dylan. I don't think anyone will be getting the next one. I had to put a couple hard ones. Right, next one. Oh, just the forehead. What, you can't guess from the forehead? Unlucky. Any hands? I'll give more time. Anyone recognise that forehead? No. Next one. Oh, who? Steve Jobs? Oh, seriously? Actually, was there any cheating that went on there? Whoa! That question was left unanswered. I'll tell you whose picture's not up here for people that the world thinks is wise. Jono, who did the men's breakfast yesterday, and we had bacon and baked beans and toast, and what have I missed out? Eggs, which is what Jono left on the side and didn't cook. So, next one. I'm disappointed I didn't get one for that. Oh, some lips. Anyone know who those lips belong to? No? Next one. Oh, yum, 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 yum. And no, oh, Reuben, have you, who's that? Grandma? I didn't hear that. Someone yell it out. Oh, just any general grandma. I don't think she is, but that's almost points for creativity. Next one. Who can guess it? For one. Tamara has an answer. Tamara, how old are you? Who's it? What's the answer, Tamara? J.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter. That's right. You can come up and have one. Well done, Tamara. And the... Okay, give it back. And the last one, if you don't get this, shame on you. Was that a hand at the back, Zoe? Was it you? No? Oh, was Mum going to cheat? Mum, well done for being honest. Thank you, Cheryl. Anyone? No? Yes. Yoda? Imagine what he's going to be like after he's eaten them, Luke. Now, I'm sure you could think of many other people that are wise, and I'm sure that each of those people are wise in kind of different areas of life, but I want to leave you this morning with what true wisdom is. See, you could have thought the wise men in that reading that Jesse read out were wise because they were rich, they had expensive presents that they gave to the baby. Or you could have thought, well, they're wise because they're successful and influential, because they got an audience with the king. And you only get an audience with a king if you're successful and influential. Or you could have thought they were wise because they were clever, because they worked out what Herod was trying to do and they tricked him. Or because they understood stars and astrology and that sort of thing. But I want to tell you the one reason that these people were wise. The one reason. We heard it in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. That's what made those people wise. They recognized who this baby was and they worshipped him. Some people would have seen that young child and thought nothing of it. Some people would have seen the poor surroundings and thought, well, this is not something very important. Some people would have thought, well, this has got nothing to do with my life. They recognized who he was and worshipped him. They were truly wise. Because everything else in life can change in the blink of an eye. It can be taken or lost or broken. But Jesus lasts forever. He lasts eternally. Sadly, many people today still don't have time for him, don't see their need for him. Some continue to think that he's just a cute baby in a manger or an interesting guy, but they don't worship him. But wise people know. These wise men understood who Jesus was, that this little baby, though he might not look like much, was someone to be worshipped. And that's what they did. And that's what makes true wisdom in our world. Even today, 2,000 years later, if you recognize who Jesus is and you worship him, that is the only true eternal wisdom in this world. I pray that this Christmas we will be like the Magi, that we will listen to and learn from those that are truly wise. They knew that this baby was the center of God's plans and purposes, like we've heard in the readings today. They knew that he would grow up to be the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Saviour of all. And I pray that we'll do that this Christmas time.